The Real Network and The Gareth Cliff Show and Leanne Moll this morning. Isn't that exciting? Nice to see you, Ass. How are you?
All good. It's treacherous weather out there for an old lady, you know? Goodness me.
It is treacherous. I'll tell you what, there are a couple of things you already mentioned. First of all, she walked in here just drenched.
Wettest I've been in years.
And you said, and this is true, when you drive in Johannesburg and it's not light yet and it's pissing down
and there's
the
no
rain,
electricity.
And there's no electricity and there's potholes.
And pedestrians.
And there's that sheen of
reflection.
The water. Yeah, 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 yeah. It's just a disaster. Like, you really are just guessing.
Yeah.
You're just like, oh, Lord Jesus, take the wheel.
And you just hope that the pedestrians know that you cannot see them.
Yeah, well,
it's like, I'm going.
I'm afraid today's not a good day for pedestrians. It's just, there's going to be some ugliness. So try and not make it about you, okay?
Yeah, you can't see those dotted lines. You just kind of put them somewhere under your chassis and go.
Jesus. It's unbelievable, right? I mean, the amount of rain that we had last week on Wednesday, I drove home in and I was pretty much aquaplaning almost all the way home.
That's the thing.
And I suddenly thought, yeah, well, I've had a good life.
It's been a good run.
I was like, well, you know what? You've done okay.
If you were in your 20s, you'd be like, I've still got my whole life ahead of me.
I was like, I don't want to die.
No, but I mean, it's not a bad ride.
If just the right amount of water and that oily stuff on the top of it, that maybe it's just not my day. Yeah. Anyway, made it. And this morning, made it. So we're here and we're with you. And just drive safely when it's your turn later on. Cape Town has also had a shit weekend. Did you see all that fire and
wind?
Wind and what a disaster. It's like, you know what? I thought Durban was shit, but actually,
you know what it is?
It might survive.
We said last week that Durban was shit. So
it might survive. Might be the one that lasts the longest. Listen, Cape Town, you have my sympathies. I saw people dealing. Did you see the wind blowing those cars off the road?
Before Huguenot Tunnel.
Oh.
Now that's...
Are those for real?
Yeah.
That's real.
I used to drive from Cape Town to McGregor, and that exact spot is a very high up bridge.
Jesus.
Just before the Huguenot Tunnel. And sometimes there were trucks parked on the side and their wheels were lifting up.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
Horrible.
It's hectic. If you've got any height on your vehicle at that spot, you're screwed.
Oh. No. That really freaked me out. I was like, no. This doesn't seem like... This should not be happening.
Yeah, it's crazy, man.
Anyway, so if you're putting up with all of that stuff this morning, it's quite a lot to deal with. And I feel for you because it's not cool. What else? What else happened? Oh, I had the squirts on.
Oh, you did? You were excited about that.
Well, of course, because you lose weight.
I thought you, just because everything was working and you were still alive.
And you lose weight.
It's true, though, you do.
So I don't know, I must have picked up some 24-hour stomach bug, but it seems to have lasted a little longer than 24 hours.
Were you sick, though, or was it just the squirts?
No, I didn't throw up. I realized there was something wrong, though, because obviously of the squirts, but then also, don't laugh, just let me finish, all right? Also because I woke up on Saturday morning with the sweats as well.
Oh,
so you realize it's a bug. Right? So you know, otherwise you wouldn't think. You just think, oh, I must have eaten something.
It's trying to get out of you in every way possible.
So I made it. But I had to go. I went to this Nora and Pure festival with some friends of mine.
Yeah.
And that was at 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon. So I was thinking, I'm not going to make it to 3 o'clock.
Ooh, yeah.
I need some extra recovery time, but I made it. And I'm very proud of myself for that. I got it right.
You didn't have to use the loo while you were there.
Hell no. I'm not going to do that. No. So it was successful.
All under control.
Everything went according to plan. I'm very pleased with the results. And I have to say there's this guy who I met probably about 6 or 7 years ago, and he said to me, listen, I'm going to get into the music business. Do you have any advice? And as usual, because I do this, I have a standard reply. I say to people, like, I'm not in the music business. I can't help you. There's nothing I can do for you. I don't want to meet you. And he was so persistent. And he was living in KZN somewhere. And I said to him, all right, look, I'm going to be in Umhlanga on this day. We'll go for a coffee.
7 years ago.
Maybe even 8 years ago. I can't remember. Anyway, so he pitches up and now I have to go. So I arrive and he's this ambitious kid who's got like dreams of being in the music business. He wants to DJ. And I said to him, look, good luck. All I can say to you is good luck. I hope it goes well. You know, all the best, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, I know.
Right? So he invited me to this thing on Saturday because he's now assigned to Nora and Pierre's label.
Oh.
And she was the headliner.
As a DJ. Wow.
And he's writing his own music and producing his own music too. And he's doing really well. His name is Jono Stephenson. He's from KZN. Mm. His dad was there, which was really cool. You know, because I said to him, you know what's awesome? I was feeling a bit philosophical. I said to him, you know, forget about the fact that I am seeing you doing what you promised you would do so many years ago. But it's that your dad can see it. Because for a guy, and I'm sure it's the same for girls, but with guys, for their dad, there's something really special about your father seeing you doing something that you had an ambition for when you were a child. There's something really special about that, which I don't think really counts for anything else.
It's a legacy, heritage, spawn thing. It's amazing that he's, you know, not many parents would be supportive of someone who wants to be a DJ. So that in itself is great.
Well, there's so many people who want to be DJs. God alone knows why, because it's not anyone can if you're dedicated enough and you have enough talent. But that's true for a lot of things. But what I'm thinking is really cool is there his dad was sitting watching, and his dad was like, his dad must be, I don't know, 60 something.
Yeah.
And he was standing in the crowd with all these like people who were just jawing.
Yeah.
and filming it. And I thought, wow, you know, that's really special, man. Because for a lot of guys, you either do achieve success or fame or fortune or, you know, a state of some desirability in society, some status. But your dad is no longer around.
Yes.
Which is how it happens usually because, you know, sometimes it takes a long time to get there.
Yeah.
Or you don't achieve that success and he never gets to see it. So it's always a cool thing to see. Anyway, I thought he did very well.
I saw a snippet. I caught it, like half of it while I was in the kitchen. But you were interviewing a South African actor. Black guy who's made it big in the US just recently. And he said his father never recognized him.
That was John Carney.
Yes.
I wasn't just an actor.
Thank you.
It was the great John Carney. Yeah.
He was talking about how his father didn't recognize the fact that he was an actor.
Right.
And how eventually his father came around and introduced him when he arrived to say, this is my son, the actor. Sure.
Yeah,
and that took him years too.
And his dad, I mean, it was funny. The way he told it was a funny story. But again, that's precisely indicative of and illustrative of the fact that I'm trying to make here about, or this point I'm trying to make about being a dad and seeing your son succeed or vice versa. So we have a lot to get to this morning. And despite a busy weekend, I had a very lazy day yesterday.
That's good.
And that's the best way to spend a Sunday. And I hope you did too, despite all this craziness going on all over the place. I see this report, and we'll talk to Dr. Hanan about this. South Africa is grappling with the impact of mental health on its workforce. While mental health awareness is growing worldwide, businesses that prioritize it see it as a boost in productivity. South Africa's economic struggles are taking a toll on our well-being. Surprise, surprise.
Sure.
Statistics show a significant portion of the population suffers from depression. Experts recommend that businesses create open and supportive environments at work, offering resources to help employees and promote healthy habits like work-life balance and physical activity. By prioritizing mental health, South African businesses can not only improve employee well-being but see the positive effects of their bottom line. According to the South African Depression and Anxiety Group, SADAG, 1 in 4 South Africans has depression, with employee absenteeism due to depression costing the economy 20 billion rand annually.
Yeah, you see. And you mentioned work-life balance.
Yeah.
That's actually such bullshit. If you are working 8 to 10 hours a day, because let's face it, some of it's in traffic, some of it's on our phones, answering emails. That's not a balance. That's not a work-life balance. You can't call life driving, picking up children, cooking food, bathing. No. That's not a work-life balance.
No. You can't count that stuff as part of your day-to-day, you know?
No, there's no such thing.
Well, I mean, here's an interesting point. Nico says in the comments, my friend died unexpectedly on Saturday. He was 28. As you said, you've got to squeeze every bit of fun out of life every day. Well, that's it. And that's why, even if you're not feeling so great, drag yourself out of bed when there's an opportunity to go and see somebody do something amazing that you knew they would or thought they would or didn't years ago. Be there with your friends. Have some fun. I mean, I left early. I'll admit that. I was out of there by like, I don't know, 8:30.
It's a good run.
I did all right.
Yeah.
From 3 to 8:30, I squeezed some life out of that. And I'm glad I went. And I'm always happy if I'm spending time around people who I see are happy. Mm. In fact, I've realized like the thing that makes me the happiest, it sounds so trite, but I promise you it's true. I'm a happy guy. I mean, like you know this about me. And I'm very, very fortunate because I don't know what this depression that they're talking about is like. I've had it circumstantially, but I've never woken up. And you used to explain it to me, looking at the bottom of the pool and
thinking, just want to sit there.
Yeah. Mm. I mean, I've never had that. So the thing that makes me even happier than I am, which is to take things to a pretty sublime level, is to see the people I care about having fun and the people I care about being happy.
You start understanding why old people are like, they just want to go for tea. They just want to see their grandchildren. Yeah. They just want to see their friends.
Because it makes them truly thrilled beyond what their own personal happiness can achieve.
Yeah, means everything.
So it sounds like I'm one of those assholes who's like,
eat, pray, love.
Yeah, or a motivational speaker or something. So I'm reticent to say what I've just said. But for the sake of clarity, if you want your happiness to go from 80 to 90 to 100%, and you're fortunate enough to be in the position I'm in where I'm at 80% most days, then the only way to get it that extra 10 to 20% up is for other people around you to be truly happy and see them in that happiness. That's it. That's what you got.
That and puppies and penises. That's really it.
Puppies. That's your motivational speak. If Leanne had to do a talk on like what makes her happy, it would be those things that I've just mentioned. Puppies and penises with Leanne Moll. Line up. Roll up. Get your tickets.
Don't miss out.
Also, not having the squirts is good. Every time, it doesn't happen often, thankfully. Every time I do, and somebody here in the comments, I think it's, let me just find this. This is funny. Lindy Ntuli says, did you accidentally drink the tap water? So she had the squirts last weekend. But every time I do get them, and it's not often.
Yeah.
I think of that Harry Enfield sketch.
Oh.
With the South African pharmacist.
Yes.
And the woman rings the bell and he goes, hello, Mrs. Bridges.
So he's an English guy who's putting on a South African accent. Yeah.
And she goes, hello, doctor. Hello, pharmacist. Hello, chemist or whatever his name is. And he goes, I see you have a prescription for tempezoline here. It's rare that doctor prescribes tempezoline. You must have really splattered the bowl.
And there are other people behind her, and she's being loud.
She just wants to die. She's so embarrassed. And he goes, tempezoline. He starts looking for it. He goes, only you must have really had explosive diarrhea. He's looking tempezoline. Ah, here it is. All right, take one of these every day for the next 3 days and make sure that you put on adult nappies so that you don't have drippage.
Tempezoline.
That's great. I don't even know if that's
there
real.
There is a cream, I think it's for your piles, called Anusol.
Yes.
Yes.
And we spoke about that on the show, Anusol, but we also spoke about that that company that does insurance called Assupol. And I was, I confused the two in my head. So I think, wow, that asshole Piles company is doing so well because see they're building in like Menland and Pretoria. I'm like, Jesus, that's a lot of building to be built from the profits of Pile Cream. And then I have to remember, no, it's not. It's a different thing.
But I heard Anusol sponsoring something random just recently. And it's almost like they're becoming mainstream.
They're sponsoring something?
Yeah, they're actually like proudly sponsored by Anusol.
But do you pronounce it Anusol or Anusol?
Anusol.
That was the conversation we had about that last. I think it's Anusol.
But listen, Anusol's marketing team is putting itself out
well
there.
Well done, guys. Yeah,
taking
well,
all the risks.
You're like Piles. You're getting out there.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. If you're feeling down, watch an episode of Curb Your Enthusiasm. Pretty good. Well, apparently, I might be wrong on this front. You might have to correct me. I think the last episode of the final season was either yesterday or it's this week.
Oh.
Yeah, and then, because I watched the first three. They were okay. I like them, obviously, because I like Larry. But I can understand if you'd never watched Curb Your Enthusiasm before and you watched those three, you'd think, what the hell? Because now we're so deep in, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, I decided to take a break from it because I want to binge the last ones, which I may do this coming weekend. And then I'll want to talk about it. But wow. Police insurance is kind of like putting cream on your piles. Oh, so that's what Assupol is. It's police.
Policy, maybe.
That's what it stands for, yeah.
Policy insurance.
Something like that. Loperamide is for a runny stomach. That sounds rough, Uthman.
Or, sounds very rough. What's that pink stuff? Damon used to have to take it. It's like... You drink it and it forms a layer of cement in your stomach to block everything.
I don't know. And then, sounds horrific.
Yeah. And then not Imodium.
Something like that. B says, I'm one stomach flu away from my perfect weight. I was really excited. Like I was feeling terrible. But I was so excited about the weight I was going to lose.
Yeah, but I mean, you eat one muffin and it's all back.
Yeah, that's probably true. Women usually don't mind getting the squirts, means you instantly lose a few kilograms, says Tracy.
You do feel nice and light afterwards. Cleans everything out.
Carl says, Leanne, welcome to my TED Talk. Look at the penis on this puppy.
Oh,
look
God.
At it.
Yeah, no, you've got to put it in the right order.
Jesus. Wow. That's why business owners, according to that mental health stuff that I spoke about just now, need to have stress monitoring machines. Sure. So at the end of the day, any employee found to be stressed will be fired.
Oh. Jeez, I thought we were on a good trajectory.
Get rid of them so they don't cost you money. I'll bring that up with Dr. Hanan.
Can you imagine going for a stress test and if you fail it, you're going to be fired? You're going to fail it.
I think that would be fine. In certain jobs, you don't want depressed people and... I mean this. I'm
like
not
as
being,
a pilot.
Yeah, I'm not trying to be, controversial or any of that stuff. Not an air traffic controller, somebody who's dealing with, hostage negotiations. You can't afford for that person to, like, lose their shit.
No.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So certain jobs I don't think you should be allowed to do if you're depressed.
Pectrolite, yes. That is
anything that involves anything that involves... carrying arms, I think, as well. Yeah. If you've got a gun on you.
Or a torpedo or something like that.
Like if you're in the military, you shouldn't be prone to depression. Sorry, there are other jobs for you, but that's not one.
Mm.
You know, if we're going to treat it like the people who've decided that mental health diseases are diseases, I'm not going to argue.
Yes.
But if they are, then certain preclusions exist as a result of the fact that those are diseases. So you have been diagnosed with clinical depression. These jobs are no longer available to you. Sorry.
But they would pick that up. I mean, they do such hectic psychometric testing.
Do
I'm
they?
Sure they do.
Some jobs they don't. Really?
No, some jobs
Having said that, though, I heard over the weekend somebody told me they'd been for like three or four different kinds of tests just for the job that they – I can't remember what the job was that they were going for.
No, it's any corporate job now. You have
really?
To go – Yeah, there's no more.
Can you imagine the trouble I'd be in if I had to go?
If you had to go for three interviews or something, you'd be like, fuck that.
I would.
But no, you do. You've got to go for like three interviews. There's like the meet and greet and then this
wow.
are you suited for the job? And then another one with psychometric testing.
Who knew?
Oh, no,
a lot of work,
crazy.
Man.
And ain't nobody got time for that.
Absolutely not. I don't. If you're joining us for the first time this morning, and there are a lot of people who are, we are growing higher and higher. Like in the original Shaka Zulu series. You must like and subscribe, please. I don't need to tell you that twice. Just get on with it and do it.
Mm.
Okay. I'm not going to make a thing of it because it's boring and uninteresting, but get on with it. Do it.
Mm.
Do it.
Just do it.
Another thing I wanted to talk about this morning, there's so much stuff. We've got Kurt Darren coming in later on.
Very excited.
Now, we haven't had Kurt on the show for some time.
Mm.
He's always good fun. He's one of the most beloved South Africans.
He's just a lucky guy.
He's a good oak.
Yeah.
And we need good people to raise our spirits at a time approaching elections where people are very fractious and nervous and the politicians are not making it any easier for us. So good that we can have someone like Gadarin on.
Gadarin.
Well, I'm saying it the way that a lot of people who are big fans of you say. Gadarin.
Gadarin.
They never pick up depression on psychometric tests, says Uthman. You realize after your colleague is employed that they suffer from it due to absenteeism and mood swings.
Well, really, just...
Carl says, in order to maintain 100% staff commitment of mentally healthy people, I immediately... fire someone when they discover that they're depressed, which, of course, depresses them further.
Yeah. I mean, just drives them off the edge of a cliff. But anyway.
Would I hire someone if I knew they were depressed, if they were really good at their job?
There's a difference, though, between anxiety, ADHD, and depression.
Would I discriminate against them? If there were two people up for a post and they both had the same qualifications, they were both equally able, there was good aptitude on both, I liked their, general productivity, proof of work, all of that shit, would I discriminate against the depressed one?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I probably would.
Okay, but now what if I told you that person, like many comedians and people in our industry...
Yeah, I know.
Who suffer from depression, yet they pitch up for work and they're happy at work. They take their depression home with them. Then it's a different story, right?
So you mean they're only depressed at home?
Yes.
Can they switch it on and off?
Look at me. How happy do I look right now? No, so I don't suffer from depression anymore. It's a lot of buildup of anxiety which can lead to that.
What did you do?
What do you mean?
So how did you correct that?
Cognitive behavioral therapy and medication.
Hmm.
Yes.
Threat of shooting? No?
No. Yeah, no. I mean, threat of firing.
Well, yeah, I mean, again, if you don't know this, you don't have it, then it's very difficult to get your head around it because it's not a decision. You don't get out of bed in the morning and go, well, I've decided to be depressed today. Like it's an overwhelming thing, right? And it's got nothing to do. It was there before you woke up.
Yeah.
It'll be there all day or for the next 7 years of your life or forever.
Yeah. You cannot.
You just got to learn to deal with it.
It cannot be solved by saying, why are you depressed? Because that you don't know why.
Mm.
It's just a hormonal thing.
So stupid.
I know, really.
it's so stupid.
That's stupid diabetes and stupid cancer and stuff.
No, I mean, do you think that there were people always who were predisposed to this?
Oh, 100%. 100%. It's as common or as disease-ish as cancer or diabetes or anything like that. Or, birth defects, things that happen in life. It's always been there.
Yeah. I think a lot of depressed people, says Halmin, are really good at their jobs. Mm-hmm. Their work becomes everything to them.
100%.
Now, that's a good trade-off.
Yeah.
If you're very, very depressed, but you will put in everything, but then I might hire you over the otherwise not depressed person.
No, but it's true. I mean, that's also what's helped me so much in we all know that I was in a position where I was really battling financially and battling to find a job. And now that I have it, I give it everything, absolutely everything. And I'm happy to do so.
All right. Well, there we go. See? Isn't that good? Gareth, can we get Kim Anemi on the show, please? She's a vaginal weightlifter. What, she lifts with her vagina?
Okay.
Sure, if we can find her. Help us. Help us track her down. That sounds like a truly interesting person.
Sure.
Let's move on, says Propaganda. This is depressing.
Yeah.
all right, calm down. Mapello says, last month I bought a new phone from Takealot. It started giving me problems, so I contacted Samsung to inquire about these issues. They told me that the phone was not made for South Africa. Wow, but they sell it on... wow.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, you've always got to figure those things out yourself the long way.
Grant says, people are also very quick to self-diagnose themselves. When I was growing up, this wasn't a thing. You just kind of had to carry on.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. And then Samsung makes a certain number of units for South Africa. This was not one of them, says Mapelo. Going through shit is not the same thing as being depressed, says Tracy.
Mm.
So many don't realize the difference. Yes.
And also...
good point. Well put.
Like I said earlier, there are lots of things now that were misdiagnosed as depression before, which are different. In fact, depression is not as common as it was before because we've realized, oh, it's not depression, it's anxiety. Oh, it's not depression, it's ADHD.
Yeah, but you see what's made it complicated. We will move on from this. And we do have Dr. Hanan just now, who's probably the best placed to give us answers on this stuff. But there are a lot of kids now who they claim this as part of their identity. We've spoken about this a lot. You know, being depressed or being anxious is part of their personality. It's like, this is what makes me me. And I'm
like an emo thing.
Yeah, and that's just
like a goth thing.
It's so bad. It does the same thing as a fake rape allegation does, is it makes the people who've got serious problems seem trivial and the people with trivial problems seem serious.
Mm.
And has the effect of just making people numb to both. Not a good idea. So if you're one of those bullshit artists who's busy telling people that because you think it makes you sound interesting, like it's become a social contagion, especially with young girls, because girls are far more influenced by girls than guys are by guys. That's a fact. Steven Pinker was talking about this just the other day. It's now a well-established fact that this is what is behind so much of the social contagion stuff that we see in society, particularly in America. But as a result, you know, America passes on whatever contagions it has to everyone else. So it's happening. Anyway, let's get on with it. We got so many things to do this morning. One of the things we want to do this morning is look at the sport. And it is 8:30, which means we get to do a Beyond the Scoreboard recap with all the sport from the weekend with Super Bets. And here to do it is producer James. Hello, producer James. How goes it with you?
Very well. How are you?
Exceedingly well.
That's amazing.
You woke up early this morning and made it to the studio without crashing?
I did. It was on a woman and prayer, but we're here. We're
good.
Here doing a show.
Well done. Well done. What do you got for us sports-wise? Give us a little look at the weekend.
I wish I had more. I'm going to start with the football, though, because it was another exciting weekend as the Premier League comes to a close.
That's your game, that.
That's the one. Football is pretty much my whole personality. Yes. It's what I do.
I'm glad you admit that.
Well, I don't have many dimensions to me. One of them is football.
Yes.
So, started with the Premier League. Wow, what a weekend.
Okay,
Liverpool played Man United to a 2-2 draw. That was the game that could have taken Liverpool top of the log and en route to winning another Premier League title. Sadly, I'm not wearing a Liverpool shirt today, so that didn't happen. Mm-hmm. Arsenal are back on top of the log this weekend after beating Brighton 3-0. And City also won, which is also bad news for Liverpool fans.
Depressing.
It are quite depressing. Arsenal top of the log, 71 points. Liverpool 71. City are on 70 points, which is 1 point behind the leading two teams. So 8 games to go. The Premier League heats up as we get closer to the final day. Moving on to the rugby, Investec Champions Cup. The Bulls played Lyon. They won 59-19. Stormers played La Rochelle and unfortunately lost 21-22.
Isn't La Rochelle a suburb in the South?
It is.
It is, right?
La Rochelle.
Is it?
That's where they played. I was there.
All right, very good.
The Vodacom Bulls put on a dominant display in Pretoria, crushing Lyon 59-19. The win propels them to England next Saturday for a top eight clash in the Investec Champions Cup against Northampton Saints. Mm. Sorry, that's reminded me real quickly. Leanne, you were speaking about Anusol earlier.
Yes. There was very popular Anusol.
There was a, I'm not sure if it was a spoof, but a couple of years ago, there's a football team that announced a sponsorship with them, and the branding across their shirt said,
see, now that's their marketing team doing good again.
I think that's very, yeah, I commend that.
Yeah.
Thinking outside of the box.
Yeah. I mean, stuff being private and your medical privacy stuff, just bring it all out.
Yeah, right. Don't make people embarrassed. Let them tell these
stories. Be proud of your piles.
Right. Be proud of your piles. Very good. That's what we're here to do, make people feel proud of their piles.
So back to the sport, meanwhile, the Hollywood Bet Sharks were also quite impressive this
weekend. See, we could have said the Anus Ol Sharks if they'd only sponsored them.
You see? Missed opportunity there.
Yes, sorry, go on.
They won 47-3 at home against Zebra Palmer. They've also set up a quarterfinal game next week in the Investec Champions Cup. The Hong Kong Sevens also happened this weekend. New Zealand, I don't think they were pleased with us and what we did at the Rugby World Cup.
I don't care what New Zealand feel.
That's also fair.
I don't care about them at all. I have no care for New Zealand. Have you noticed?
Should I leave the story out?
No. It's important that we revel in their misery. Go on.
Well, they went back-to-back men and women's sports this weekend at the Sevens. Their men and their women's team won both.
They won?
Yeah.
I'm sorry, strike that. I'm not interested again.
Okay. We'll leave it there. The Blitzbox ended the tournament in sixth after a 33-14 loss to Fiji, sadly. Yeah. And then lastly, we'll go with Formula One. It happened in Japan this weekend. Gareth, any guesses as to how that one finished?
You know I don't give a damn about this.
Well, it was Red Bull and Red Bull, followed by Ferrari and Ferrari. And that's also how the standings are looking at the moment. Lastly, for you guys, just something I want to throw in. Banyana played Nigeria on the 5th. They lost to them 1-0.
Oh.
They play them again tomorrow night at top of 7 in the CAF Women's Olympic qualifying tournament. Mm. They're 1-0 down, so here's to hoping. Crossing fingers.
Okay.
If so, I was on a football team,
yes.
I'd be scared of playing Nigeria. I don't know if it's like a girl thing.
And if they were Anus Ol Nigeria.
Yeah, no? Even more.
Better. You'd be more scared of them. All right. Okay, well, thank you for that. We did have Benedict Mache in here on Friday. He's a big Formula One fan. And were his predictions any good? Did you compare notes? Because I didn't understand anything he said.
Yeah, they were pretty on point. No surprise this weekend.
So then he is an expert.
Again. Yeah.
Because often people will talk a big game when they come in here. They're like, oh, I know about this sport. And then turns out they don't, you know. So he knows.
No, it seemed pretty accurate. I'm just, again, not surprised. It's Red Bull 1 and 2. All right. Max Verstappen doing their thing.
Thank you. That's enough from you. You may leave.
Okay.
Very good. Superbet supports responsible gambling, strictly no under 18s, and winners know when to stop. The South African Responsible Gambling Foundation's toll-free counseling hotline, 0800-006-008. It's a big thing, this sports betting. People love it. Just by the way, we were talking about La Rochelle. Carl says, yes, I grew up in the South. La Rochelle used to be so nice. Now it's just Nigerian hookers.
Oh, it's still nice. I mean,
it depends what you're looking for.
Whatever you're,
if you're looking
whatever
for,
floats your boat.
If you're looking for Nigerian hookers, it's a proper win.
I'd say.
Yeah, La Rochelle. Very good. I don't think girls are far more influenced by guys than the guys are by girls, because almost everything guys do is to impress girls. Very dumb things and even very good things. Mapelo makes a good point, but that's not what we're talking about. We were talking about the effect of peer pressure. So in other words, girls are influenced very much more by girls than they are by guys. Guys are very much more influenced by guys than they are by girls. But if a girl does something to... Guy's not going to behave like a girl, but he will do what he can to impress a girl. It's a different, it's a totally different kettle of fish.
That's why he wants the status, the yes. good job, the car, yes. the... Yeah.
Exactly. Right. Sanele being very rude about Nigerian women, saying that they look like men. Makes sense, ass. Very rude.
How rude.
Extremely rude. I'm going to send a couple of the Nigerian women that we have hanging around the studio here. I'll send them to your house Sunday.
Yeah.
Excellent. Get ready. It's going to be very exciting for you. All right. Well, we're going to check in with Dr. Hanan in just a moment or two. You had some things on your agenda which are worthy of getting some attention. Apparently, there's a teen student who was named the world's youngest billionaire after earning £125,000 a day since she was born.
A day.
What an industrious child. How did this child become so industrious, and how can I have a child like that?
It just makes you not really feel very
successful,
but sure. Yes. So she's currently at university. She's already amassed an absolute fortune.
At university, how old?
She's 19.
What did she start doing that made her rich immediately?
So she's been raking in this kind of cash every single day since she was born, almost 20 years ago.
Doesn't seem fair.
Yeah. She has amassed a $1.1 billion fortune.
How?
So she's the heiress
of an electric
machine. No, so not inherited. Of an electrical machines company named WEG, W-E-G,
So far it sounds like inherited, but okay.
She has a stake in the company.
Oh.
Okay. She's been earning around £120,000 to £125,000 a day. Lives with her family in Brazil. She's been named the world's youngest billionaire by Forbes, alongside names like Taylor Swift and Rihanna. Her sister is also mentioned on the list. She's 26. They both own about 3% of the company. Older cousins also on the list.
So that's inherited then?
Inherited, but also, you know, if you're given, it doesn't it come off of your inheritance as such if you're given those shares? So let's say, yes, you can have these shares, but your wealth is not accounted for if it's not inheritance.
No, Leanne, she inherited that. No, she didn't earn it in the womb. She got her parents must have bought the shares for her.
But then how does Forbes calculate her as a billionaire then?
Because Forbes just look at your total paper money value.
Okay.
So yeah, she's an heiress. You said it in the first word. Heiress,
okay.
That means, yeah, she didn't earn it. Yeah.
So, yeah.
Sorry to break it to you. You thought she was more of an achiever than she is.
I actually really did.
This is how they bullshit people like you. All right. Sorry, Leanne.
Earlier this week.
Burst your bubble. She was all excited. She's like, oh, it's possible to be an heiress, but actually make it yourself.
Earlier this week, there was another story about a child millionaire who made enough money to retire at the age of 11.
Oh, I don't like these people. I don't like a child billionaire or millionaire.
And
I don't
that was
like it.
That was from selling toys, making £110,000 a month.
Sure. Selling toys, huh? Okay. All right. Well, that's nice.
We'll
nice
just carry on going to work.
Yeah, that's exactly what I was thinking. Is like we'll just keep on slogging here, everybody. Wake up in the morning, get your work done. How come we are so poor? This huge reaction, as I like to call him. How come we're so poor and there are so many more billionaires in the world now than ever before? Maybe I'm just lazy or not born with a silver spoon.
Silver spoon thing's a big thing now.
Right. I hope she's learning to be a philanthropist, says Durban Dope.
She's studying law, I think.
She's not going to need that.
Yeah.
£125,000 a day. She's not going to need... Look, the point is, unless she is just a wastrel, and I doubt very much that this is what she would aspire to. It's not guaranteed.
It must be really hard to find the aspiration and motivation to go to varsity and study when you come from that.
I just think you either, it's got nothing to do with how much you have or don't have. You either want to do things in your day or you don't. Some people don't want to do things. They have an inclination to laziness. They would rather wake up late, traipse around the house in tracksuit pants. Even if they have all the money or none of the money. That's common across both categories, right? If you wake up and you're in absolute poverty in some rural place, You literally live in a shack or a rondavel.
And someone offers you a job.
And you're like, nah.
And that's, yeah, that's very true. Or, that happens.
Or you're very rich and you live in an enormous house that you inherited or something else. You didn't earn it. You're not prepared to work for it, to keep it. You've got enough money in the bank to not have to worry. And you traipse around the house.
Mm.
And someone comes to you and says, listen, there's this very cool thing that I know you would be interested in doing. And you're like, nah, that's lazy. It's the same.
Yeah.
I think that's the same across both categories. It's not a good look.
No.
All right. So in other words, another story about a rich person to make us all feel lazy.
Yeah.
Even though she's lazy at this point because she hasn't earned that money herself. We'll see. The proof is in the pudding. And then I've always wondered about this. When you're on a plane and the cabin crew, you could tell they have like a language of their own.
Yeah.
Body language, like a look.
They've actually got code words.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So there's a problem passenger in row 4B or whatever.
Even before that, I've heard before that if you are standing at, you're booking your ticket or you want to try and upgrade or something like that,
yeah,
they'll send little codes to each other on their computers.
Asshole.
Yeah, talking about, so apparently there are secret nicknames asshole that flight okay, attendants have.
Tell me.
Like, it's the same, like, at Walt Disney World, for instance, yeah, cast members say code V, and that's if a kid's like vomited at some some passage or something. Ooh. They call that a code V. But yes, flight attendants, firstly, there's this misconception that one of the words is PAX. But now I know from eventing, PAX means the number of people.
Correct.
Okay, so firstly, to dismiss that, somebody thought that PAX was a code word, but it's absolutely not. So there is BOB.
What does that mean?
And it varies. The
big
meaning.
Old breasts.
Big no? old breasts.
It's not
no.
that? Oh.
It's actually, it comes from boyfriend on board from the flight stewards. Like it means there's a potential husband on board or a potential suitor.
Those sluts.
Someone
yes,
who's
so
really
much.
Attractive. they would say, no, there's a BOB in 42.
Are we civilians meant to know these code words?
No.
Oh, so we've discovered them. This is very helpful. So BOB, if someone says that, it doesn't mean big old breasts. It means boyfriend on board. So it's when two of them will be nattering to each other.
Yes.
BOB.
Yes.
You know, they want some dude on board.
They also call them rafties. If you find a particular attractive person, it's, in other words, somebody that you would want in your raft.
Oh, oh, that's dark because that means that the plane has to crash.
Yeah, exactly.
Rafties.
So the one thing that you don't want to be called is a Philip.
Oh.
Which is pretty much the opposite of a BOB. It's a very bad passenger.
A Philip.
So an anonymous flight attendant blogger revealed that the nickname is reserved for particularly bad passengers. If you're labeled a Philip, you've done something wrong and should probably expect to get bad service for the rest of the flight. So the name actually originated from the term pulp, which is passenger I'd like to punch.
Oh, wow. Okay, so this the Philip. You're a Philip.
Yeah, it's changed over time to become a bit more subtle instead of a pulp.
That's very cool. That's good to know. Any others?
Screamer.
Oh, then we know what that is.
It's pretty straightforward. It's actually just looking for an upset passenger. Like, look out for screamers. This is what's going to happen if you have a screamer.
Okay.
Someone who's just really having a bad day and making everybody else's day bad as well.
Horrible people.
There is something called a crumb cruncher.
Oh, God. That sounds bad.
And that's supposed to be like a cute, alliterative way of referring to kids.
A crumb cruncher.
Yeah.
Doesn't sound very cute.
So instead of saying...
It's like one of the giants from the BFG by Roald Dahl. The meat crunching crunch muncher. What did you call it?
Crunch muncher.
A crunch...
crumb cruncher. So in other words, before when you have your meetings, before you when you look at the flight, passenger list or whatever. You'd say economy's full of kids today. They'll say economy's full of cram crunches today.
All right.
So, yeah, there's something called a baby Jesus.
Oh, what? Oh.
Yes.
It sounds good. Is it good?
If you hear a flight attendant refer to your baby as baby Jesus, don't be flattered.
It's a bad thing.
It's a code name for a fussy baby whose parents are doing nothing to help.
Ah, okay. I've seen a couple of those on planes. I agree. Give them any name you like.
Yeah.
I'm not a fan.
Spinners is another one. Spinners refer to passengers who board late and who don't have a seat assignment. The term signals how these passengers kind of spin around the plane looking for an open seat, kind of scratching their heads.
Okay, yeah, I've seen those as well.
There is something called a hot coffee.
What's that?
If you hear a flight attendant say hot coffee followed by a seat number, they're saying that passenger in that seat's a hottie.
Okay. All right, enough of these.
Yeah.
Okay, it's enough. It's very insulting.
Yeah, we have to get to Dr. Hanan anyway.
Absolutely. All right, here he is, the great Dr. Hanan. Hey, it looks like you've got some power there for a change. You're not in the dark.
Yeah, I know. Jeez, thankfully, otherwise I'd have to sit in the car again.
I know, how embarrassing. But here you are, the great psychologist, Dr. Hanan. And we were talking earlier about this report that's just been released by SADAG about 1 in 4 South Africans who have depression. Apparently costs the economy 20 billion rand annually. You believe that?
I actually think it's much worse. I think depression is on the rise. I think anxiety is on the rise. Think about where anxiety levels and depression and insecurity and frustration and anger were, I don't know, 20 years ago versus where it is now.
What are you trying to do? Are you trying to depress us? What the hell, man?
I'm part of the problem and part of the solution.
Oh, what's wrong with you? Here we are having a nice, happy Monday morning. You have to bring on the depression. All right, so, Doc, if that's the truth, we've got some serious issues, not just in South Africa, but in the world. And we're maybe only coming to grips with them now, but it's something we need to take seriously. I mean, if it costs the economy money, then it's everybody's problem. It's not just the problem of the depressed people.
Of course. I mean, have you ever sat in a room with an anxious or depressed person and think it doesn't affect you?
No, I leave so straight away. When I see them, I get the hell out.
So it affects you on a micro level in whether you're having dinner with them or dinner in a group or whether you are part of, you know, their social circle, and affects us globally. There's a domino effect. People that are depressed, they don't want to get engaged with life. They don't want to get engaged with people. They don't want to fix things because they're in survival mode. So it's all about me, 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 me. Mm. So a lot of the times when we call people, you know, selfish, is because they're going through incredible amount of internal turmoil to help them fix themselves first before they can look after anybody else. So if you want to breed a society that looks after other people looking after other people, it's all about fixing mental health, for me at least.
So, Doc, let's go to an email that we've got here from someone who's not depressed, but they're worried about conspiracy theories. It's from Lisa. She says, my dad has gone well and truly down the rabbit hole, and the algorithms are working super well to keep him feeding one conspiracy theory after the next when he searches for videos. It's becoming a bit of an obsession for him. He's literally just watching videos 5 to 8 hours a day. I feel like we're slowly losing him as he loses touch with reality. The last straw for me was having to listen to him talk about tests done, which prove the Earth could indeed be flat, that there is no moon, and we live in a type of matrix or 3D dimensional illusion. I feel like I've lost my dad, and there's no reason. When I try to question in a nice and constructive way, he says he has an inquiring mind and it's good to question the status quo. He's super brainwashed, and he believes that we're all brainwashed. What would Dr. Hanan suggest would be the best way to get him out of this downward spiral, which I believe is starting to affect his relationships because he's feeling isolated and depressed? Or do I just accept him for what he wants to believe and let him be?
Mm.
Bad.
Right. So I'll offer 3 separate pieces of information that might be useful to you. First of all, every human being on planet Earth needs to make sense of their world. So brain does not accept things that don't make sense to us, that are valuable to us. So, and I say valuable to us because not everything is valuable and not everything you have to make sense of, but the things that are valuable to you that are not adding up, I call them open loops. The brain has to close that loop and make sense of that. So for example, if my child is not doing well, that's an open loop. I need to go make sense of that. So I go to the doctor to close the loop.
Right.
If my marriage is struggling, that's important to me. I can't accept that. I need to go and figure it out and close that loop. If financially I'm insecure, if my work is not going well, if a particular friendship is not going great, my brain can't just accept that as something that doesn't make sense to me. It has to go out and search for an answer that closes that loop. So every human brain has to close a loop. And by the way, that's what creates anxiety. All anxiety is an open loop, something that doesn't make sense to me that I cannot make sense of. So that's what people attach themselves to, any form of theories. Then that's their way of making sense of their world. That's what people attach themselves to, esoteric things. Maybe people attach themselves to religion. Maybe people attach themselves to storybooks or learning new things or engaging with mentors. And by the way, engaging in cults as well, because that entity helps them close the loop, helps them make sense of a world that does not make sense to them. And conspiracy theories are no different. People attach themselves to conspiracy theories because they offer a solution. They offer an alternative to this does not make sense to me. So it offers them an answer to a part of their world that they deem important that suddenly makes sense to them. The problem these days, compared to 20 years ago, or 30 years ago, or 40 years ago, is the access to data and information. So now if you want to close the loop with anything, you can type on internet why eating sugar is good for you, why pornography is good for you, while doing drugs is good for you. And you'll find a blog by a scientist from Harvard that says and justifies exactly what your bias is, that closes that loop for you. So it's very easy to go down the rabbit hole and actually search and keep on searching and searching and searching in a world that really doesn't really close the loop. And that's all, by the way, that's what social media does. It almost closes the loop. It promises that it will close the loop in the next clip. Right. In the next one.
Yeah.
In the next. Yeah, so it almost does it for you, but it says, just one more click and you'll get the answer that you need. So you click again. And it goes, no, you're almost there. Just one more click. And you click again, and that's how the cycle continues. And that's why her dad searches for 8 hours and 10 hours a day. And that's why the little kids these days, it's not uncommon for them to be on the laptop, on the computer, on the cell phones for 12, 13, 15, 16, 17, 18 hours a day. Because it's almost there. I'm almost going to close the loop, but it's not yet there. So what is the solution? We got to see this problem as an addiction, because that's what addiction is. Addiction is an open loop, and the drug offers me an opportunity to close the loop. And the drug closes the loop, but then it opens again. And then I need to chase it again and again and again. But every time I chase it, the hit isn't quite as satisfying as the previous one. I got to do more and more. So her dad, it didn't start with 8 hours. It started with 30 minutes. And then it went to 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And then it went to an hour. And an hour wasn't satisfying enough. And I turned to 8 hours. So my suggestion to her is to see her dad's addiction or her dad's need to go down the rabbit hole of conspiracy theories as an addiction and to treat it as an addiction. And she might not have the power to control it, but he should certainly, or they should encourage him to go and seek professional help on how to get rid of or how to let go of this addiction.
Sure. It's really interesting. Hadn't thought of it like that. It's also like a dopamine hit for him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, there's also this reward mechanism that when you're trying to discover things for a curious mind, and I thought that was interesting. The part that hit me was her saying, well, he just says he has an inquiring mind. When I was a kid, I would read encyclopedias obsessively. And it was because I'd find something in an article about, you know, some wild animal that they discovered in the Amazon. And then there would be a word in there that I didn't understand. Then I'd look up that word. And it's a kind of rabbit hole too. But I was led to believe that there was nothing unhealthy about that. You're saying if it gets out of control and you have this open loop and it leads to obsessive behavior, that is an addiction.
For sure. So, Gareth, even let's take your case. So, for example, imagine you're reading something really interesting about a wild animal or maybe a far away place that nobody discovered. And you're reading, and the last sentence says, and this wild animal is known for, and then you turn the next page, and then it starts and goes, and this wild animal is known for, and you can't just get an answer. And you keep on turning and turning and turning. And this encyclopedia, this book, just does not give you the answer that you want.
No.
So what you're going to do is you're going to buy another encyclopedia and another book and another book. And before you know it, your whole world is filled with trying to figure out this one last missing piece that's been eluding you for, I don't know, however many years. And that's what an addiction is. It just doesn't close the loop, and it entices you to go and search for more and more, because the next page, the next line, the next hit, the next shot is going to close the loop for you. And by the way, it becomes, that's not a, the issue, and the addiction is not the issue. The issue is how it starts taking over your life. So in the analogy, in your case, imagine now your whole room is filled with books and you've got no space for a table and a chair, and suddenly your kids can't come in, there's no space for your bed. Now you're sleeping on the floor. Now when it starts taking over your life in unhealthy ways, that's an unhealthy addiction. Having a healthy addiction, in inverted commas, is beautiful, because you keep on closing loops, moving on to the next thing, enriching your life, enhancing your life, moving forward, progressing, getting better. That's wonderful, and has only positive effect on everything else in your life. If I go to the gym 1 hour a day, that has a positive effect and a domino effect on everything in my life. But suddenly when it starts taking over my life and affects my marriage and my health and my relationship with my kids and my work, then it becomes a problem.
All right. Well, I'm dangerously close to this kind of obsession, then. That's what you're telling me. I mean, I got to watch myself. All of us do. But I mean, the internet has made these kinds of unhealthy obsessions available. It's
absolutely,
and people can do it while they're lying down. They can do it while they're sitting up. They can do it at work, at home. They can do it while they're driving a car. It's obviously not a good thing in that respect.
Yeah. But back in the day, Gareth, I mean, if you had to go and read something about an interesting animal, you'd have to get out the house. You'd have to go into the library. You have to go to your school's library, the public library. You had to go and engage with the real world, ask a real person about what they know about these things. These days, you can do it anywhere, at any time. And the information, how do you know even if it's credible? But the accessibility to data and information is what enriches the cycle of open loop, closed loop in unhealthy ways.
Well, I hope this helps, Lisa. And thank you, Doc. We will chat to you again in a week's time. Have an awesome week this week, and we'll catch up soon.
Same to you guys. Stay warm.
Thank you. Very good. Yeah, stay warm, and don't drive in dangerous places today with, you know, aquaplaning and
yes,
all that shit. All right, we'll be back.